today's reading is from Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. Please turn to Matthew 28, 19 and 20 in your Bible, or turn to page 811 in the Bibles provided. This is verse 19. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. You may be seated, and the children may go back to Children's Church.
Let's bow our head in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the testimony of this man. Evidence of your grace and mercy. A man who did horrible things. Not just smuggling drugs, but smuggled human beings created in your image. And his life was almost ruined, Lord, but by your grace. Lord, let us all call on your grace. Let your grace be alive in our lives. We pray this in your holy name. Amen and amen. The Great Commission. We are called to go. The end of the book of Matthew. Some 60 weeks I've been preaching on this. The end of the Passion Week, the week of suffering, the crucifixion, the resurrection, and now the command to go. In verse 16, then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. In 28:1, Jesus had told Mary Magdalene and the other Mary. He had sent the word through the women. They were the apostles to the apostles. He said, go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. They will see me there. And they went now. They've seen Jesus after his resurrection. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. There was the issue of worship. Matthew records how the women had also worshipped him after his resurrection. Many people attacked the Gospels, as we even talked about last week. There's an apologetic for defending what the good news, all of Scripture, and especially the Gospels have to say. And what you'll often hear is that the church has changed and perverted the life of Jesus Christ. That Jesus never claimed to be God. It was the book of John. John is the last Gospel written. He deviated from Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And then the Apostle Paul all turned Jesus into God. And Jesus never made that claim. It's a common argument. It's kind of ridiculous if you ask me. Because they would say Jesus was only a good teacher, another rabbi. Yet here in Matthew, we have seen that Jesus calls himself Lord of the Sabbath. Now to us here in the United States, we don't understand that. The Pharisees, the people of his time, understood that. When Jesus said he was Lord of the Sabbath, there's only one Lord of the Sabbath, God. He forgave sins, and not just in the way you and I should. If someone has hurt you, we are called to forgive them. We are called to bless those who persecute you. Bless and not curse. We're called to forgive. But Jesus forgave sins in a different way. He forgives sins as a person, or to a person, who hasn't just hurt him, who's hurt others. When people call out to God and ask for forgiveness, Jesus forgives sins, as only God can. Now today, we might not pick up on some of that, but when you read the Gospels of Matthew, the Pharisees, Matthew, the people of his time, understood Jesus was saying, I'm not only the Messiah, I'm God. For instance, going back to Matthew 26, the high priest said to him, I charge you under oath by the living God. Tell us if you are the Messiah, the Son of God. That's pretty high status. And Jesus not only agrees, he goes one step further. He goes, you have said so. That's right. You're right. Then Jesus said, but I say to all of you, from now on, you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One and coming out of the clouds of heaven. He's saying, I'm not only the Messiah, I am the divine, I am the God Messiah. And the Pharisees understood. Then the high priest tore his clothes and said, you have spoken blasphemy, because man can't claim to be God. Sometimes I find the arguments against the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, to be utterly ridiculous. And this is one of those cases. He is claiming to be God. He accepts worship. From Old Testament to New Testament, you can sometimes see where people are in awe of an angel. I mean, what would you do if an angel showed up in your kitchen one morning, making coffee? Would you ask for a cup, or would you fall on your face in utter fear? And the angel said, don't worship me. The angels in the Old and New Testament said, don't worship me. And these are angelic, spiritual beings that are very earthly also. And they say, don't worship me. And when they fall down and worship Jesus, he accepts worship. He is God. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. That's a pretty big claim. The average super rabbi doesn't claim that. Now, we probably have some politicians who make similar claims today, but they can't back it up like he did. And I'm not sure how all that works, because there is some difficulty, because we look at our world. For instance, 1 John 5:19, and it says, we all know that we are children of God, and yet the whole world is under the control of the evil one. So there's this dichotomy. Jesus has all authority and power, and yet Satan seems to get to run the world. God will not force himself, Jesus will not force himself into your home and make you worship him. But I tell you what, going into eternity, he will be fully revealed. And going into eternity, he will honor your choices that you've made on this earth, whether you've chose to worship him or deny him. And let me tell you, on this earth, it may be a battle. Jesus says, in this world, you'll have many troubles, but take heart, I've overcome the world. But in the heavenly realms and in the final saying and done, it is basically Godzilla versus a cockroach. There is no battle. Jesus Christ will win. On this earth, we will have many troubles. But Jesus Christ, fully God, fully man, has divine authority and rules and reigns. And every knee shall bow, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. In spite of what some spiritual teachers and scholars might try to say. And because of all these things, then he says in verse 19, therefore, because of all these things I've just said, go. I love this picture of the hand of the globe, the hands of the people. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. He has authority. He is in control. We worship him. And he calls us to reveal him to others. He calls us to go out and spread the good news of Jesus Christ. And he says in verse 20, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. He will never leave nor forsake us. Times may be difficult. People have died for the gospel. There are martyrs then and there are martyrs today. People are thrown in jail for the gospel. But I am with you even then. And everybody seems to love Jesus till you get to the Matthew 28:20, where he says, obey everything I've commanded you. Because see, Jesus says some things that we just don't like. You know, there's the old joke. Yeah, is that adultery thing still in the Ten Commandments? Still there. Obey everything. All scripture is God-breathed. Jesus is saying you obey all scriptures. You don't get to pick and choose. It's not a multiple choice. Well, I can do this one, but I'm not too sure if I want to do this one. Oh, this one's out. I'm not following that rule. It's okay if I cheat in the taxes because it's the government. And you don't know my Aunt Lucia, you'd hate her too. No, you don't get to pick and choose. So, we are called to follow Christ. Understand that he has complete authority in heaven and on earth. And therefore we go. As Christ followers, as churches that follow Jesus Christ, all understand this. We agree on this. We might disagree on some things. Whether when it says you baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, they're only baptizing you Jesus, or they think it's okay to sprinkle, or they think you got to be dunked and make sure not even your nose is above the water. We may disagree on those issues, but we agree to go and obey his commands. Now, there might be some different ways we express this. We as a church say, worship the living God and making disciples. And I looked up some other churches' mission statements or vision statements like this. And a lot of them, like ours, are based on the Great Commission. You know, worship and go. One church says, love God, love people. Sounds a lot like ours. And they probably said it before us. Another one says, save, equip, send. One says, reach up, reach out. Every church has its own unique way of saying, go and make disciples. Go, we worship God. We worship the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And yes, some doubted. Can you believe that? He's resurrected from the dead, and some doubted. Obviously, Jesus kicked them out of the boat. No, he didn't. He understood that we doubt. Life is often full of doubt and angst. And if those men there doubted after seeing everything they saw, you can imagine we are. Now, this is my belief. This is not in Scripture, so I want to totally separate it. But my opinion is that faith is built on doubt. Because if you know everything, you don't have doubt. But we don't see the full picture. I've never seen heaven. I've never seen the veil ripped in two that opens up the spiritual realm. And it's based on faith and hope. And I'll be honest with you, sometimes I doubt. And my guess is I'm not the only one here in this room. Some doubted. Some doubt today. And yet we persevere in spite of that. And that's why it's called faith. So we worship in all circumstances. The good times, the bad times, all times. No one is ever good enough spiritually and ever arrives. You know, I've finally arrived and I'm worshiping God and I've figured it all out. Those kind of people should scare you. No one ever figures it all out. It would seem some people think they have, but we should be very cautious and very humble as we worship God. And you know, he said in this message, I've messed up a million times. And I would agree in my own life. In fact, I'd even say more, but I did this. There's like only 2.2 billion seconds in the average life. So, you know, I don't want to admit I mess up like every minute. But I mess up a lot. We all do. We have our moments of doubt, insecurity, anger, frustration. And so we obey. And Jesus says, obey me. You know what some of Jesus' most common words? Repent. The kingdom of God is at heaven. So many people love Jesus till you get to the obey and repent part. No, Jesus loves me just as I am. And you are absolutely right. And because he loves you so much, he won't let you stay that way. If you're a parent and you see kids playing on a busy highway, if you love them, you'll tell them to get off the road. And you may even physically go remove them. If you love them. You won't let them stay the way they are. You love them enough. And so we worship God. What that means is it's part of the obey. We, the word is prostrate, put ourselves down, kneel before God. You're God, and I'm only a human being. The way some people act on this world, and they even say it, you are your own God. You're the master of your universe. You can be God. It's a lie that comes from the book of Genesis. And it's been stated over and over and over. But when we worship God, we're saying, we put your interests first. We seek to follow you. You are God, and we are not. And what that looks like is these five things I've shared before. Worship looks like praying. Because he's God, whether he knows everything or not, he's called us to pray and reach out to him. And it doesn't mean we'll always get our prayers answered the way we want. In fact, if you mess up a million times like me, or the guy in the video, it's better that some of our prayers aren't answered. But we pray. If we believe God is God, if Jesus Christ has all authority on heaven and earth, then we would pray to them. Seek their counsel, their guidance. Worship them. We would praise him in our prayers. Praise him at church, declaring that he is God. When we sing our praise song, when we pray, we praise God. We thank him. In prayer and praise, we reach out and acknowledge he is God. And we proclaim that. We proclaim in our witness, in our churches, in our Sunday schools, we proclaim the message of Jesus Christ. We go. We're called to go outside of our homes, outside of our church, and proclaim that Jesus Christ is the one true God for salvation. There are not many ways to the Father. Jesus himself said, no one comes to the Father but by me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus only. Prayer, praise, proclamation. Worship looks like sacrifice. We deny ourselves. Instead of getting up in the morning and just having our donuts and coffee, we have our donuts and coffee and we pull out our Bible. And we read and study and we pray. We pray for other people besides ourselves. We not just look to our own interests and, Lord, say, give me, give me, give me, help me, help me, help me. And that's, I pray like that sometimes. But also we pray for others. Pray for our community. We pray for our political leaders. And not just the ones we like and vote for, but for all. We pray for our globe. We pray for Taiwan. We pray for the Ukraine. And yes, and I selfishly pray for gas prices to come down. Amen. We pray for our schools. We're going to have a prayer walk. And it might be hot that day. We sacrifice and set aside time where we can be at home. And we go pray for our schools and walk around our schools and demonstrate in real time and effort that our schools, our teachers, our administrators are important to us. And we give our money. You know, some people say, pastors only ask for money, so I won't let you down. I'll say, yes, sacrifice, you give of your money. You can buy other things, but we're called to give financially. And then lastly, the one that's covenant renewal. It's kind of a fancy word. It's a way of saying that we are in covenant with God, more than a contract. It's based on love and kindness, not just obligation. See, a contract is simply obligation. You sign it out of fear. Covenant's done out of love. And we renew it. Every day, we commit to follow Christ. Every day, we recommit to follow Christ. We say, the things we believe today, we will renew. When we take communion today, it's a covenant renewal. We understand his blood was shed, his body was broken. And we renew our commitment to follow him, understanding that maybe some days our body may be broken and our blood might be shed for the gospel. And even though that's not a great fear here in the United States, when many people in other countries take communion, that is a very real possibility. It is every day we have to recommit to follow Christ. It's not this, well, I got saved 30 years ago and everything's good. What have you done since then? Well, 30 years ago, I committed to follow Christ. That's what that guy said 30 years ago, and he's still living it today. I get to bring one of my old jokes again, where a husband and wife were sitting at the breakfast table, and she goes, honey, you don't tell me you love me anymore. And he goes, honey, I told you when we got married, I loved you, and if it changes, I'll let you know. I'm surprised they made it 30 years in their marriage. No, every day you recommit and redemonstrate our determination to follow our Lord Jesus Christ. And what does that look like? Three women from the Bronx went. Remember he said it's a small part of the clip. He goes, I'm in jail. And three women from the Bronx came. Did they look like this? I basically Googled images, women from the Bronx. This is what they look like. Back then, I bet they had some more suede and more bell bottoms and maybe bigger jewelry. Or they look like this. Probably look more like this. A rundown part of town, beaten up, depressed, and yet these two ladies are going. I don't know what these three ladies look like. Well-to-do, poor. And you know what? He probably doesn't remember. He probably never knew their names. No glory. No compensation, no headlights. They're not going to be teaching at next year's big senior pastors conference, but they went. They went. So too, us, we are called to go. And we don't know the impact we'll have. These three ladies went, witnessed to him, proclaimed the gospel, worshipers of the living God. He gets saved, and he's got a bottle business. He's making decent money, even more in the video talks about he makes other money in the same way. And he helps other people collect bottles. He started a business that employs other people. And he proclaims the glory and worship of Jesus Christ on the street to these people. He wasn't shy about what he believed. How many people have been touched because three women from the Bronx went to jail to witness to him? You never know the impact of what you are doing. I can think back to some ladies who taught Sunday school and vacation Bible school when I was a kid. The impact they had on my life. I look back to some of the people I heard preach when I was a kid and the impact they had on my life. A pastor that none of you have met, was never on the cover of Christianity Today. A Sunday school teacher that none of you would know. Doesn't remember herself, the impact she had on my life. And it all matters. We all make small, or what would seem like small steps for Christ. Here in our church, through other churches in our community, we all do our part. And we never know how God will use the things that we do. But the Lord knows. And he will say to us, well done, good and faithful servant. Because they obeyed. In worshiping Christ, they went. And because of that, he repented. Because they went. They obeyed. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. These ladies went. Christ was with them. They were Holy Spirit empowered. And a man's life was changed. A man who didn't just run marijuana. I find it interesting when he goes, yeah, I ran marijuana. And then he kind of throws in like he's embarrassed to even admit it. And people. He smuggled people. I don't know if he was smuggling people in the country or he was smuggling in for prostitution. But he didn't even want to mention it. And he said, that's where the money is. Not in marijuana. In people. And his life was changed. He was an utterly corrupt and despicable man. If you're doing what I think he did. But they went. He was changed. And you could see in that video the joy of the Lord was all over him. In spite of his circumstances. So let us worship. Let us repent and obey. Let us go as a church, as individuals, by the grace and mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, Let us follow and obey the Great Commission to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we come before you today, Lord, empower us, encourage us. Because sometimes, Lord, we just feel like we're hitting a brick wall. I wonder if those three ladies in the Bronx went home that day and had any idea of the effect they would have on that man and the effect he would have on others. This is a man who probably, when he got out of jail, would have went back to the exact same lifestyle he was before. But because they went, because they obeyed, a man's life was changed. Lord, encourage us, because we don't always get to see the fruits of our labor. Encourage us to do our small part, to go into our community, to go into our schools, to pray for our schools, to go out, even during this garage sale, we're a witness for you, Lord. Let us go as you would have us go, as we worship and follow you. Because you are our God, our Father, our Creator, and we pray this empowered by your Holy Spirit, in the name and character of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.